I'd like to show you some of my favorite stories. This is from, 1986 or something like this. This is Thomas the Tank Engine. This is Winnie the Pooh. This is Pride and Prejudice. This is Wolf Hall. This is Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. This is Joy in the Morning. This is Gilead. And this is Lord of the Rings. What do I like about these stories? Well, I guess it all comes down to the skill of the story writer. But there's wish fulfillment, talking steam trains. Who wouldn't want to know more about them? There is epic drama. There is wisdom that challenges me. There are fascinating characters. Some are funny. Some of them even have a happy ending. And we long for our happy ending. What would your favorites be? What would you have on your pile, in your bag, or maybe on your playlist? You can include TV and film if you like. What are the stories that speak to you, that have grabbed you, that have maybe stayed with you? I think part of why we love stories is because we're in one. A life has a beginning, has a middle, and it will have an end. Has different chapters. Maybe it's set in different locations. Maybe there are sudden plot twists. Maybe there's a lot of other characters involved. Sometimes you feel like the central character, maybe even the author. You eventually realize that you're neither of those things. The stories we tell our children mostly have happy endings. It's because that's what we want for them. And it is also what they seem to naturally hope for. We have to tell them other stories later on. Stories with loss and pain. Stories that end ambiguously or even tragically. And perhaps we teach them that happy endings are just childish, wishful thinking. The story of the Bible is famously long. Not just because there are a lot of pages, because it starts before time and ends beyond it. There is a lot of drama and a lot of characters. And this weekend, we remember the most dramatic moment of all, and we focus on the most important character, the author. The tension between Jesus and the first century Jewish religious authorities had come to a terrible climax. And they had captured him and they had given over him to the occupying Romans to be crucified. And on a Friday, he died and was buried. And that, his enemies hoped, was the end of the story. They dealt with similar situations, they thought, before. One of them would later recount, some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, all his followers dispersed, and it all came to nothing. For the people who followed Jesus, his death seemed like the end too. They had seen him calm storms and cure sickness. They'd seen him feed thousands and find the one who needed his care the most in a moment. He had taught with a truth which exposed the secrets of their hearts, and everything he did revealed that his heart overflowed with love. They had believed the story that he had told them about God, about himself, and about all those who trusted in him. A story that made sense of everything, even whilst it included sudden reversals. A story that promised a happy ending. One of those people who believed was a woman called Mary. Jesus had freed Mary from powerful evil forces that had dominated her life. And she was so devoted to him because of this that she joined the group of people who traveled with him wherever he went. And she was one of the people who gave him financial support. Jesus had changed her life. And she was seeing him change other people's lives as well in all sorts of wonderful ways. She began to realize that he was making the whole world right again. And she helped others to learn, as she had, how to live in the new story that he was making possible through his powerful actions, his profound teaching, and his gracious love. Nothing could stop her from following him. Wherever he went, she went. Even when he went to the cross. She was one of a very small number who stayed with him until the end. Maybe she just couldn't believe that his story, her story too now, would end that way. Have you ever longed for that? That something you dared to hope might happen would actually happen? That cynicism and despair would be proved wrong for once, that the stories you believed when you were younger might be right. For everything sad to come untrue, as one of the characters in Lord of the Rings puts it. It might have been a trivial thing. It might mean the world to you. For Mary and the other followers of Jesus, all their hopes and dreams had seemed to die with him on the cross on that Friday. So they thought. Now, you may well know what happened next. As we read one of the accounts of what happened on that Sunday morning, remember that Mary and Simon, Peter, and John, who are also in this account, did not know what was going to happen and had no expectation that it would. This is from John's account. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. She did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, She said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I've not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is God's word. And this is when God changes the world's story from hopeless tragedy to indestructible joy, to the happy ending that we all long for because it is the ending that we were made for. Now, the day didn't start that way for Mary, did it? She had got up as early as she could, and she'd set off for his grave before the sun had risen. And her horrified grief was twisted further when she arrived and she saw that the stone that was covering the entrance of the tomb had been rolled away. Jesus' body was no longer there. And basically what follows is chaos and lots of running around all over the place. She runs to Peter and John. She's got terrible news. The only explanation that she has got for why the body is not in the tomb is someone has taken it. And the men then run to the tomb. And they're thinking, what on earth is going on? And then they get there, and there's this sudden moment of calm inside the tomb. The linen that his body had been wrapped in was still there. And so was the cloth that would have been around his face, and it was there, and it had been folded up. And this moment of order and stillness just kind of sets off a whole load more questions. Why are those things still there? Why are they so neat? Why, if you wanted to steal a corpse, why would you remove what it was wrapped in and very carefully place those things before leaving? Something clicked in that moment for John. Words spoken by Jesus before he had died began to have new meaning. And he and Peter went home, unsure of what to do next. Mary stayed, weeping and desperately wondering. How had this awful day got even worse? Where was the body? She must find it. Light continued to fill the sky, but Mary's darkness was unchanged. She weeps and she weeps. And she asks anyone nearby if they know where this body has been taken to. All she wants to know is where he is. Not even the appearance of people in white in the tomb can shake her focus. Where is he? And she keeps being asked, why is she weeping? Why is she weeping? Who wouldn't weep at his grave? Who wouldn't weep when he is gone? And gone now is seemingly in every way, and all hope and joy and peace gone with him. Of course she's weeping. How will she ever do anything else? And then Jesus says her name. And she shouts and she holds him. And it's like she's like, her senses of hearing and sight, I'm not sure I can trust those. So I'm going to hold him. I'm going to touch him. I'm going to see, has this really happened? She doesn't know how it's happened, but she is sure it has happened. Beyond all hope and expectation, he is there. He's there again. He's with her. And he hasn't recovered. He is resurrected. There is a new life in him. It's like it's radiating out of him. And it's definitely him because he's immediately telling her what to do. He's as absolutely committed to a different agenda from everyone else around him as he ever was. She can't keep him to herself. No one on earth can. As ever, he has a better plan. And you trust him with the story now, wouldn't you? He said, you write it. This is going a lot better than I imagined it. Your plan, your story. That's what I want to have happen. Your authority is this total. We'll do what you want. And he tells her to go and tell others. And she does. And this is going to lead to millions and billions of people hearing Jesus call their name and change their lives. Because here's the thing about this story. Great stories draw you in through maybe a common idea or experience that you find a personal connection with, for powerful descriptions of people or exciting plots that you just imagine yourself being part of. The author can somehow make you feel like you're there, like you are, this is your story even. But I am not a hobbit. I'm not an advisor to the King of England. I'm not a spy. I'm not even a bear of very little brain. I'm not in those stories. But I am in this story. And you can be too. Because as John finished writing his account of Jesus, he said, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This is the invitation that Jesus is giving you today. For your story to become part of his story. Many people here have experienced this. Just heard from Tanya about how she experienced this. Your story doesn't need to be as desperate as that to require Jesus. Mine wasn't, but I needed him. And all of us do. The story of Jesus' death and resurrection is obviously remarkable. But why does it matter for you? It matters because it means that Jesus is alive and changing lives today. In a few minutes, you're going to have an opportunity to ask him to do that for you. And let me just give you three of the many reasons that there are to do this. Transformation. We've just heard from someone whose life was radically changed by Jesus. The Bible says that the transformation that Jesus experienced from death to life shows what anyone who puts their trust in him will experience too. For some people, this could be as astonishing and dramatic as Alonzo's was, as Mary's was. Maybe that's what you need. You know that your life is damaged in so many ways and you have tried so many things. For others of us here, maybe the change you need may not be so immediately obvious to everyone else or even to you. But for every person who puts their faith in Jesus, the change that he makes is total. From death to life. From being an enemy to being a child of God. From despair to hope. From sorrow to joy. A purpose unlike anything else. Can Jesus really change your life that much? Well, look what he did at Easter. He really can. He brings transformation. He also brings his presence. Mary wanted to be where Jesus was. That's why she traveled around with him before his death. That's why she went to where she believed his corpse was buried. And it's why when he appeared to her in the garden, maybe that's why she grabbed hold of him. She said, I'm not letting you go. Because to be with him was the most wonderful thing. There was no one else like him. She loved him, and amazingly, he loved her. And when he told her to let go of him in the garden and said that he had to ascend to his Father in heaven, that might seem like Jesus is like, well, just calm down a bit. Like he's keeping his distance. But that's not what's happening at all. He was reminding her of something he had said before he died. Very truly, I tell you, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. He was talking about sending the Holy Spirit, God's invisible presence who comes to be in every person who believes in Jesus. If Jesus was still present on earth as he is in heaven, can you imagine the queue? How long do you think you would get with him? A fraction of a second? But by sending his Holy Spirit, God has made a way for each of us to experience him with us all the time. Surely I am with you always, Jesus promised. And Jesus being with us makes all the difference. As Tanya said, we can talk with him. We learn to walk with him. We recognize his work in our life and around us. And it changes everything. It makes the joyful things you experience far more wonderful because you've got someone to be thankful for them too. And you've got someone to share them with you. And when he makes himself known in the hard times, I'm just so relieved. I'm so comforted. I'm able to keep going because I know that I'm not trying to do this by myself. He sometimes makes his presence known to me when I'm reading the Bible and I suddenly sense he's just speaking so personally, directly to me through what I'm reading. Sometimes it's been through the actions of others of his people. Sometimes it's through circumstances just being so arranged in such a way that I know it's him because no one else could have done that. And sometimes it is just as simple and indescribable as just knowing that he's with me. I don't know how I would get through life without him. I don't have to try. The final thing that he offers is hope. Jesus told us that those who believe in him will have life in his name. And when John uses that word life, he doesn't just mean our current existence, he means eternal life. And that starts now. That transformation that Jesus brings is part of his eternal life. That sense of his presence with us, that is eternal life. It is knowing God. And so it begins now, but it goes on and on forever through the grave and beyond it. Jesus hasn't died again. He has ascended to heaven. One day he will return to the earth in person and make everything here new so that is a fitting place for him to dwell with his people in joy forever. And all that his followers now have maybe glimpsed, they will see clearly of his goodness. Everything that's just, they've just had a taste of his presence and of his kindness, they will feast on in joy forever. They will be fully transformed. And they will be with him with no veil between him and them. The book of Revelation says that God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. This is the hope that those who trust in Jesus have. Our lives now may be extremely complicated. The Bible tells us to expect that. But it also assures us that our story will have the ending that we tell our children and wish could be true for us, that they all lived happily ever after. Or as the Bible puts it, weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. That is the Easter story. That is God's story. That can be your story. Transformation, presence, hope. Any one of those blessings from Jesus' resurrection would, I think, be enough for you to want this to be your story. And you don't have to choose between them. They're all there. And as the song says, with 10,000 besides. I'm not saying that trusting Jesus is not without challenges. You may have doubts. You may be aware of difficulties, even dangers for you that would come if other people knew that you were beginning to follow Jesus. You may simply be thinking of, what on earth does this mean your life is going to be like if he has to be in charge? But what he is offering you is worth far more than any of that, however costly it is. Because only he can offer you this transformation, his presence, and this eternal hope. He has risen. He is calling your name. What will you do? You can respond right now by believing in him. The Bible says, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. His story will become your story. I want to invite you to pray with me if you want this story to become your story. I'm just going to lead you in some of the things, and I want to encourage you to take what you hear and you pray it to God yourself as I do so. So let's close our eyes and let's focus on him. Lord Jesus, you are alive. I'm not sure what I thought about that before, but I believe it now. Thank you that you died for my sins. Thank you that you have been raised to new life so that I can have new life. I want to stop writing my own story. I'm sorry that I have wanted to write my own story and ignored or disbelieved you. Please bring me into your story. Please, risen Lord Jesus, transform me. Please send your Holy Spirit to be with me. Please give me the hope of eternal life. Thank you that you do. Help me to live this story now. Amen.